Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Nestera, an all-in-one platform for teachers, coaches, and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Alicia. She is a 2x Amazon best-selling author, featured among 250 women in B2B to follow by Thinkers360. She's on a mission to humanize business work from the inside out, helping individuals and organizations to maximize their impact with passion, purpose, and personal branding. Welcome, Alicia.
My pleasure to be here and talk to you and our audience about a topic which is very dear to my heart, personal branding. Because I really believe that this is one of the most essential business tools in today's world.
I'm also super excited to be talking about it and bringing in you as an expert for that. So with that, Alicia, before we get into that, I would love to know how you ended up being a personal branding expert, among other things that you do. Tell us more about your background and your journey until late.
To make a long story short, around 5 years ago, our social media agency started to bring corporate brands into the social media world. And quite quickly, we realized that people on social media don't really want to follow just polished corporate brands. They want to see real people behind those brands. And quite often, traditionally well-established brands don't have a very clearly specified leader, like, you know, everybody would know Elon Musk and Richard Branson. And for agencies to present the brand, it's quite difficult without the framework of how would I position yourself on social media, how would I would match your physical personal brand and the digital personal brand. And I started to look for ways to decode the personal branding in order to integrate this into social media strategies of the companies. And I realized that though there are a lot of many books which are written on personal branding, none of them really gave a clear roadmap of how we can get from where we are today, where we want to be tomorrow. And quite often in personal branding, there is a lot of focus on packaging, especially in the digital world, but not many personal branding experts are really looking into the personal brand DNA. And so we decided to write a book on personal branding. It was published 2 years ago. It's called The Brand Named You, and it's pretty much like a workbook with a lot of questions and 100 steps process, which helps you first to understand yourself, to clearly define your unique strengths and your unique values, your why, your passions, and your style of communication style, visual style, the way that you make people feel, and only then to start looking at your channels, your marketing message, your customer audience. And so we put it kind of together, two things that are normally set apart. Yeah, coaching, where we learn about ourselves, and marketing, where we just present ourselves. And I really feel that personal branding, in order to be authentic, it has to start with our understanding of ourselves, owning our story with both our strengths and our weaknesses, because people, both online and offline, they always feel this authenticity. We can say on the spot whether you are authentic or you're just pretending to be somebody that you are not. And quite often we try to copy somebody's success, like, oh, I want to be next Elon Musk, or I want to be next Richard Branson. But we don't have to copy anybody, because that's impossible. We would never be like Richard Branson or Elon Musk, but we can find things that make us unique. And when we learn about our own unique impact that we can have in the world, then we start to talk to our audience from our heart. And this is the best marketing and sales tool that you can possibly have. So personal branding starts from getting in contact with your passion and purpose. And then you can say that you would be selling without selling, and your ideal customers would come to you because of you.
Makes sense. No, that makes a lot of sense. That and I like your point that we have to be us. A person has to be themselves rather than copy someone else. And otherwise, this personal branding is going to be fake and it's not going to come from within. That's a great point. So with that, we'd love to know more about the book and what's in there. You touched on a few things at a high level, but I would love to go a little deeper into that. And if you can kind of give us and our audience a framework here and talk about how someone can approach that personal branding, what to do about it and what not to do about it, and how to leverage all of that and what channels probably. So we'd love to know in and out of that.
Yes, as I've mentioned, it's a workbook which consists of 100 steps of first understanding your substance. I call it personal brand DNA, and then learning to package it attractively so that your ideal customers could resonate with your personal brand. And it's pretty much based on the framework of 7 questions, and I would be happy to share those with our audience, because this is a very good starting point if you want to think about maximizing your personal brand, then this is the place where you can start. So with any business enterprise, we know that before we launch a business, we have to have a very clear strategy in place. In case of ourselves, not many of us have a very clear destination and then the roadmap. We just go with the flow. But nowadays, we are sort of in between two brands. We have, each of us already have a physical personal brand. Jeff Bezos, a very strong personal brand himself, in 2012 said that personal brand is something that people say about you after you have left the room. So this is already a given thing that you have accumulated over the years. But now, within the last 10, 15 years, especially in the last 2 years because of the pandemic, we also have a digital personal brand, and they can be working together to our advantage, or our digital personal brand could actually be hurting our physical personal brand if it's not taken care of. And I would say that in today's environment, personal brand is not what people say about you after you have left the room, but it's pretty much what people know about you before you enter the room. Mm-hmm. People get the first impression online, and that people stick to their first impression. So whether it's a good one or a bad one, and in order for us to have this strong digital brand, we have to understand ourselves. We have to understand our uniqueness, and we want for both of those things to work together. So the framework consists of 7 questions. The first one, you have to have a very clear understanding of what is the goal of your personal brand, because there are many different ways that you can do personal branding, and it depends on your goal, whether you want to be a sought after thought leader, whether you want to sell your courses online, whether you want to find the partners, whether you want to attract investors or employees. So what exactly is the goal of your personal brand? And the second question is, you have to understand your personal brand DNA. What are your strengths, and how do your strengths help your target audience? What are your values, and how do your values attract your ideal customers? What are your passions and interests? What is your unique style? The way you dress, the way you speak, the way you write. How do you make people feel? And most importantly, your why. Why are you doing things the way that you're doing? And that for us to sound authentic on social media through different mediums, on the podcasts, on the videos, through the articles, we have to get in touch with this personal brand DNA. Then once we know what is our goal and what is the uniqueness of who we are, we should look at our target audience. And I like to think about target audience like your circle of influence. Who should be the people who have to know about your personal brand? Once you know who should be in your target audience, in your zone of influence, you can strategically approach them and you can build your circles online and offline. Mm-hmm. Then when you know your goal and your ideal audience, and you also understand yourself, you can work out your value proposition. And your value proposition should be based on your personal brand DNA. How I can help you being me. How I can do something that nobody else can. Because your personal brand DNA is the only thing that no one can copy.
Right.
No one can be the same way that you are. And once you get in touch with that, you can also learn to market that. So you have your goal, you understand your personal brand DNA, you know who is your target audience, you put together your value proposition. And then you think about your story. What is your story of becoming who you are? What is the story that you can share with your customers on social media, your learning experiences, your successes and lessons, and you build your content plan and marketing strategy around that. Mm-hmm. And then you can choose the right channels for your personal brand to be present. Again, both in traditional media using classical PR and also social media online. Quite often people asking me whether I have to be on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. There is no right or wrong question answer to that, because you have to be there where your customers are. Right. If you don't understand who is your customer, then you would not know where they are. And you also have to understand that how would you measure your success? Because in personal branding, there are a lot of different things that you can do, but there are some very critical parts of the puzzle that you have to put together for you to work. So you have to know whether you would measure a number of the followers on social media, whether you would measure number of the features on the podcasts, number of the articles, or actual number of the customers who come to you because of your personal brand. And then once you have a clear understanding of the strategy, you can go out and test. And in a nutshell, personal branding success really comes down to two things. And I think that pretty much all personal branding experts would agree on those two. This is authenticity and consistency. Both of them are quite difficult ones to handle. Right. The authenticity comes from this personal brand DNA and understanding yourself and owning your story. And consistency comes with practice and also with understanding of the impact that only you can really have on the world around you and the value that only you can give to your customers. So that's pretty much in the a very short summary of what has to be done with when you are starting your personal branding journey. But I would once again like to stress that we don't really have to create anything. We don't have to create a personal brand because we already have it. The question is only whether we create it ourselves, we manage it ourselves, or it just happens to be the way it is by accident. And especially nowadays in the online environment, if we want to be successful, we want to take part in this dialogue. my multidimensional conversation about our industry, about our topic of interest, and especially about us as experts in the in this area.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And thanks for walking us through that framework. Just curious, a few questions came up. About first question about originality. So, which goes to the authenticity part as well. But a lot of people I know, they will be, when they are going in this direction of personal branding, they feel like they have to have absolutely new original content out there that has not been done so far. What are your thoughts there? Is that true, or is this more like, hey, just be you and share your experience? Doesn't matter if someone else also had that experience somewhere else.
I think our unique stories and our unique perspective on different topics is what is the most important one. If you look at any topic out there, there are hundreds, if not thousands or 10,000s of books, articles published on them. But your own perspective can be of really true value. And also your story. Because I quite often, well, we're talking about storytelling in business quite often, and it is a kind of common knowledge that storytelling is what is selling. But we, when it comes down to our stories, our sharing our personal experiences, I see quite many people, and myself included, that we shy away from sharing our personal experiences, especially painful experiences, especially difficult lessons. We kind of think that we have a possibility to talk about our hero journey only when we get to the very top of the mountain. So once I become like Elon Musk, like Richard Branson, I would share my whole journey. Mm-hmm. But in reality, quite often, those people are so far away that a majority of us would not be able to relate to their stories in a way that we would be able to relate to the story of a person who is perhaps 1, 2, 3, 10 steps ahead of us. And I like to think about storytelling also in personal branding context in a way that there is no right or wrong story. There is the real story of you and the way you are. And before you share that, you never know whom you can help and who needed to hear this story right this moment. And it is very important that we really start owning our stories, start sharing our stories. And in all of different things that we can talk about business, about personal branding, about coaching, our own story is something which is different. And that people, if they listen to us, perhaps we are talking, like you are talking about the same thing that as I'm talking, but people who relate to you resonate with your message much more than they resonate with my message, and vice versa. So I think that there is a lot of room for people who really have experiences, have knowledge, have their own perspective. And we have many people out there who really need this advice and expertise and this unique perception.
That makes sense. So what I'm understanding is that for our listeners or anyone who's listening, so don't worry about that. Hey, you have to have an absolutely original new topic. The topic could be an older topic or something that has been talked about, but bring in your own story and perspective in that topic, which is going to make that unique. So that's the recipe of making something unique, by bringing in your own on perspective, your own personality into that topic. And that's how you can make it unique. That's great suggestion. Another question on that. So story. So one thing I want to clarify, myself for is you mentioned story. So that makes sense. Let's say I have this story that, hey, I started here and way back 20 years ago and that thing. And then now I'm here, which is a story. Yes. And which is going to be absolutely unique. But if I have to be consistent, let's say if I have to share every day or every other day, three times a week, how can I use the same story in so many ways that I can keep engaging my audience with story or stories for a long, long, long time? So any thoughts on that?
We have to go into this question of how we as humans are making decisions. So most of us, irrespective whether it's a woman or a man, 97% of our decisions are emotional. And then women just go with this first instinct, and men quite often try to find some rational facts to justify their emotional decision. Now, when we are talking about emotions and our emotional response, what really triggers that are the stories that we can relate to, and also our shared values and why. The topic of why was very popularized by Simon Sinek in his book Start With Why, and he's also talking about this fact that all of the iconic brands, they never focus on the features of the product. They always start with their why. They're talking about their bigger mission, the dream, and for a longer storytelling in your content marketing, for example. I would really suggest for you to look into your why and building a lot of things about why you are doing that. And also putting all of the different pieces through your prism of the values. So you can always, in every situation and every insight that you want to share, you always can find something that this is important to me because, and this is already a story. It can be just your opinion. You can have a longer story. We tend to think a story, it's a very long piece of information that I put out there for everybody to read, like a novel. But the story can be just what happened to me a couple of hours ago when I was walking in the park. That can be a story. Because our mind that we're thinking in pictures, and our goal is really to help people who are listening to us really imagine what we're talking about. And there is no better way than building this picture. And again, we also we don't have to be a hero of the journey, of the story all the time. Our customer and other customers that we have can also be heroes of our journey, part of our bigger story. So there are different parts of the stories that we can share with our customers. And yes, we have this the core story of who we are and how we became the way that we are. And if we look at this from the biggest perspective, then when we can start to find different pieces that I can use this bit in the post, I can use this bit in the article. This is perhaps a bigger topic for a bigger presentation. And then we start also to notice different stories in everyday life, and then we start to share them to demonstrate
point. That makes sense. Thanks for clarifying that. So there's a bigger story. The way I understand is there's a bigger story that we have, that one story, but then it's made up of like multiple hundreds and thousands of little stories within that. In our lifetime and experience so far, we have had like tons and tons and tons of stories where we are the hero of that story. But at the same time, you're saying that you'll have thousands of other stories if you start to think of where you were just playing a little part, but your customer or your spouse or someone else was the main hero. You can kind of pick those stories and share that with your experience there. Mm-hmm. That's a great suggestion. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Another thing, consistency. You touched on consistency. So any thoughts around that? Is consistency considered same time every day, or once a week, or whatever works? Is there a magic or a best practice on a consistency thing?
It depends a little bit on the person and on the channel that the person has selected. I like to think about this question of consistency through the prism of, there is a famous book by former FBI agent called The Like Switch, and he shared the like formula, where he puts together four different parts of how we can build relationships with people. In context of presence on social media, for example, we have to think about the intensity of our content and the contact, and then we can look at how frequently we can be. For example, if you're doing an online marathon for 8 hours, your contact with your listeners is very intense, and you give a lot of information, and they get you get to know each other very well. You wouldn't do this type of the format every day. That would be overkill. You would be very well off if you've done this a couple of times a year or once a year. Right. If you're doing just the bits of shorter Instagram stories, then it's understandable that you have to be present more. So it depends on the format. But also, I would say that I would prefer always to choose quality over quantity. So perhaps once time a week is a better, if you have a better piece of the content, is much more efficient than posting something just for the sake of posting every day. Mm-hmm. And generally to my customers, I say that once a month is absolute minimum if you don't want to disappear from their grid forever. Once a week is okay, and a couple of times a week is already pretty good. In B2B world, I wouldn't say that it's necessary to be present on the social media, for example, every day, but 2-3 times a week is pretty good. And I all regarding this consistency, especially when we are busy with other things, it's very difficult to find time to create content, to put it out there, to be present. And I believe that this content consistency comes from planning. We shouldn't really look at the content as featuring some news and always being on the outlook for something to feature, but right. We have to start from the foundational topics that would be relevant even in half a year time, and plan our presence around those topics. Once we have those pieces in place, we can add some news, some things in between those blocks. But if you look at the different people who are consistent on social media, they have kind of a bigger plan in place. I personally, for example, create videos on LinkedIn, and this is my building block of the content. I film those videos once in a half a year, and then between those bigger blocks, I put in different ideas that I get, different features, things that happen in the moment. So I'm kind of balancing between planned content and also going with the flow and with the inspiration in the moment.
Makes sense. Now that's a great point. So this is the approach which sounds and which is a lot more strategic, a lot more longer term, rather than just, hey, I'm going to post something. So this is like a little bit more strategic that you find topics, map out your 12 months at least, that hey, if you want to do it right, map out your 12 months, have those bigger blocks, like let's say a block for every month, and then you sort of fill those blocks with something else. So that's a great point. Another question on that. So from a, when you're making this strategy for like, let's say 12 months, is it advisable to post on the same type of topic for like 5-6 posts together kind of thing? Let's say for 2 weeks, post the same topic, things around the same topic, and then for another 2 weeks, pick another topic and post around the same topic. Is that approach more advisable, or the approach where it's you still pick a topic, but every week you mix it up? Let's say you do just 2 posts for the topic, and you do 1 news and 1 motivation or something like that. Which approach is more advisable from your standpoint?
When I'm working with customers, we normally highlight 3 to 5 core topics that we want their personal brand to be associated with. Sure. Less topics you have, easier for your target audience to start identifying you as expert on this particular topic. And then we don't really create a content plan for longer than a couple of months. Normally we would have 1 month in advance planned at least once a week. In some cases, more of that. And we would try to mix those different topics and different angles. We would showcase the expertise, your personal opinion, perhaps your story. We can. We also curate the content, which is published by some other experts on this on the relevant topic. Mm-hmm. We can add your own perspective, your comments. We would play with different formats. For example, the topic is the same, but we can publish an article, we can have a short video, we can put out an infographic. So we would be looking at the same topic, but from different angles. And this has different advantages. One is that you're present with the same topic all the time, but you are talking to different audiences, because some of us are more visual, some of us want to read the deep dive in articles. So if you're mixing different formats, you can really get in front of different audiences and get your message through more clearly. And it also helps you to bring in more content. And it's also very important from the personal branding perspective that you kind of find the balance between being just professional and also being personal, which doesn't mean that you have to share also your personal life on social media. There are some channels which are fully professional. Like, for example, on LinkedIn, nobody would expect you to share your personal life. On Facebook, yes, if you don't want to be associated with, 365 days working workaholic, then you should try to add some free time, some time with friends and families. But if every person really finds this right balance himself, and once again, quality over quantity.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. My last question to you. I know we are running close to the time. So just from that, the originality / authenticity standpoint, which you touched on, and which I think you touched on in your conversation, but just want to make sure I ask that question, where is there more advisable thing in terms of what type of, let's say LinkedIn. Let's pick a LinkedIn example. And is there an advisable thing that we should be doing more of videos and less of a very nicely designed infographic and maybe an equal amount of just text-based written posts? Is there a good mix or advice on that, or this is more like a testing where whatever works for the audience, just try it out.
Well, what we're really doing online, we are building relationships. And I think this is the most important thing to understand. We are building relationships with people with whom we don't come into physical contact. So if you're looking at video, for example, this is the best way after a physical contact for your audience to really see who you are. Mm-hmm. So I would say that video is the most authentic way to present yourself. It is one of the most authentic ones. And different social media platforms really love videos. Your videos get you very decent visibility. And at the same time, there are different people and the way that they consume information. So some of the people would not look at your video. You have to reach them somehow. And once again, it's also understanding yourself and finding things that work for you the best. When we're talking about video, for example, in quite many cases, when we first get in front of the camera, it can be challenging. We are perhaps not who we are in real life. It's going out of the comfort zone and etc. But once we get into this mode and we learn to present ourselves, I think it would be a very good way to promote yourself and to get your point very quickly. But we have people who are introverted. For them, perhaps a podcast would be a very good way to be present, to build connections with their audience. Right. So I think that nowadays there are so many different platforms and so many different platforms and formats that each of us can find that one that works the best for you.
Awesome. No, that makes sense. Thanks for walking us through that. Through this, it has been enlightening to me, and a lot of amazing information you have shared today. And I believe that if someone is getting started on their personal branding journey or has been trying to do that, this conversation can be of immense help to them. So thank you for that. Last thing, if someone wants to read your book, The Brand Name You, because this amazing information and a lot more is in that book, how do they find that book?
It is available on Amazon, both in PDF, Kindle version, and you can order a physical book. And you can also connect with me on LinkedIn, where I share my views on personal branding. And I also talk a lot about passion and purpose in business.
Awesome. Yeah. Right after this call, I'm off to Amazon, and I'm going to order one copy for myself for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks, Alicia. It was great talking to you. And I'm sure our listeners loved it. We'll be back with another episode next week. Stay tuned till then. Thanks, everyone.